In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast, Spraznikom. Spraznikom. What a joy to come once again to one of the great feasts of the Church. It's a feast that honors both our Lord Jesus Christ and His Mother. We wear blue in honor of the Mother of God on this feast. But the feast is called the Meeting of the Lord. In Greek, it's ipapandi, which means to encounter, to come face to face with, to meet. And truly, Simeon was waiting for many years to meet the Lord, and Anna, the prophetess, were there in the temple. And the Lord came with his mother and Saint Joseph. They brought him to the temple to do according to the law, that when the mother and the child would be dedicated in the temple, they would bring either an unblemished lamb or two turtle doves or a pair of pigeons to give that as a gift, and that the child would be dedicated to God. And that's exactly what takes place in this feast. But more than that, for us personally, we have to see this feast as the feast of our encounter with the Lord, of our meeting, our coming face to face with the Lord. And really, this is the heart of our life as Christians, is continually to come face to face with the Lord, to meet the Lord. Now, rather than going further in my own feeble words, I want to share with you the words of a great saint, a saint of relatively recent times, Saint Theophan the Recluse, who has a beautiful sermon for this feast of the Meeting of the Lord. And so now I'm going to share his words with you. What a tender scene the meeting of the Lord shows us. The venerable elder Simeon holding the infant God in his hands. On either side of him are the righteous Joseph and the most holy Mother of God. Not far away is the prophetess Anna, an 80-year-old faster and woman of prayer. Their eyes are all directed toward the Savior. Their attention is absorbed by him, and they drink in spiritual sweetness from him, which feeds their souls. You can judge for yourself how blessed was the state of these souls. However, brethren, we are called not only to think about this blessedness, not only to think about it, but also to taste it in reality. For all are called to have and carry the Lord in themselves, and to disappear in him with all the powers of their spirit. When we have reached that state, then our blessedness will be no lower than that of those who participated in the meeting of the Lord. They were blessed who saw it. We shall be blessed who have not seen, but believed. Pay attention. I will show you briefly how to achieve this. Here is what you should do. First of all, repent. Repent. Remember that nothing must be done in spiritual life without repentance. No matter what anyone endeavors to seek, let the beginning of it be repentance. Just as a house cannot be built without a foundation, nor a field be sown or planted without first being cleared, so also without repentance we cannot begin our spiritual search. Anything begun without repentance was begun in vain. Thus, first of all, repent. That is, weep over everything bad that you have done and resolve to do only what is pleasing to God. This will be like turning your gaze and your whole body towards the path of meeting the Lord and taking the initial step upon that path. Next, keep this state of repentance constant. Establish for yourself a manner of life and conduct that would make every step or movement something directing your attention to our Lord and Savior. Such an order of life will establish itself naturally if, A, you do everything that you do for the glory of the Lord and Savior, for Christ's sake. Here we mean not only great deeds, but all deeds, all deeds, for seeing and hearing, silence and speaking, food and drink, sitting and walking, work and rest can all be dedicated to the Lord and sanctified by His all-holy name. There isn't a minute when you are not doing something, so by thus dedicating your activity, you will be meeting the Lord minute by minute, directing all your activities to His glory. You can even more conveniently do this and reap fruits from it if you also be, the first was A, now B, if you also insert into the order of your daily activities the practice of prayer, both in church and at home, and in general make it your rule to be a strict fulfiller of all the rules and order of the Holy Church to the last iota, without vain elaboration and distorted commentary. So we want to avoid vain elaboration and distorted commentary, but just simply doing what we know we ought to do, and with simplicity of heart, he emphasizes. As the content of all prayer is the Lord and our turning to Him, by doing it and participating in it, you will be meeting the Lord through your heart's sympathy and delight. If after this, C, you fill all your interim time with reading the scriptures about the Lord, listening to talks about Him, or with your own contemplation of Him and the great work of salvation that He wrought on earth, then you will see for yourself that nothing will remain within us or outside of us that does not bring remembrance of the Lord, bring Him to your attention, or carry your spirit to meet Him. Just the same, you should not forget that all of these labors and occupations are only preparation. You should not stop at them, but rather strive onward. Just as food taken in rough form later imbues refined elements needed for life through digestion, so must these occupations performed visibly and tangibly turn into a spirit of a very refined inclination or striving toward the Lord. Namely, the labor of consecrating all our activities to the Lord should have the quality of reaching with our whole soul's desire only for the Lord. When we do all our prayers or attend the divine services, a feeling should form in our hearts of accord only with the Lord and what is His. Underlying our reading and hearing the Holy Scripture about the Lord should only be the eager directing of our mind's attention toward the Lord alone. These labors are that very working of the field, and these strivings are the growth of what has been sown. The first are the stem and branches, the latter are the flower and fruit. When these inclinations come up in us, it will mean that our spirit has gone out with all its consciousness and disposition to meet the Lord. Since the Lord is everywhere, and since He Himself seeks to meet with our spirit, their mutual meeting will then come about by itself. From that moment on, our spirit will begin to taste the blessedness of righteous Simeon. That is, it will begin to bear in the embrace of its powers a striving for the Lord, who is its complete satiety and satisfaction. This is what is called tasting the Lord, rest in Him, mentally standing before the Lord, walking in the presence of the Lord, and ceaseless prayer, the object of all God's saints' labor, desire, and seeking. I wish that all of you who celebrate the meeting of the Lord be vouchsafed this blessing. But if anyone complains that he would like the fruit, but the labor it takes to get it is too hard, the answer is, good. There is an easier method, a method simpler than the one laid out. Here it is. Repent, then with zeal for keeping all of God's commandments, walk unfailingly in the Lord's presence, striving for Him with all your mind's attention, all your heart's feelings, and all your will's desires. If you thus dispose yourself, you will soon meet the Lord. He will come down to you and abide in you, as in the embrace of righteous Simeon. There is no other way to lighten the labor needed to seek a meeting with the Lord. The Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, is powerful and strong to help in this work. Again, however, not by itself, but under the condition that all the strength of our spirit be directed toward the Lord. Be sober, be vigilant, seek those things which are above, and your life is hid with Christ and God. Then, having become one in spirit with the Lord, you will behold and embrace the Lord, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you, neither in this age nor in the age to come. Amen.